Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Yeah, talking about Tecovas. Love Tecovas boots. Some of my favorites here. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it out to a store, visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
Oh, holy shit. I mean, holy fucking shit. Jables, do you know who's on the show today?
I cannot even believe it.
Duran Duran.
Her name is Rio, and she dances in La Sun.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, we talked about it, but I don't think I realized
we told the audience that we were going to the show.
Yeah.
You know, I said, hey, we're going to the show. Amped to see Duran Duran's gonna be fucking rad.
Yeah.
I didn't know at the time because I'd put in an interview request. I didn't know if it was gonna be granted or not.
Yeah.
Sure enough, boom. I get this email and they were like, yeah, the co-founder would love to talk to you. John Taylor. I was like, what the fuck? this on so many levels was so huge for me. One, huge Duran Duran fan.
Yes.
Two, John Taylor was like the pimpiest dude in the fucking world to me. Like,
totally.
Holy shit. He was my guy. He was my dude. Where yeah, it was yeah, just yeah. like, yeah. That's a fucking sexual icon right there. And I was nervous. I was nervous about it. I was yeah. like, I was genuinely
Which you
nervous.
You never are.
Never.
So it was like.
And I've met everyone. At this yeah. point, I've met everyone.
Right.
And I was genuinely nervous to me. I've met the fucking president, for Christ's sake, right. multiple times.
Yeah.
But John Taylor from Duran Duran, I was nervous about that. I spent so much of my, you know, my childhood around MTV and, you know, fuck, Duran Duran killed it for years and years and years.
Was it your MTV or?
Well, it wasn't my MTV.
What was it?
I don't know. But I will say this. Duran Duran owned it. I mean, they had that shit on lock.
Dude, we'll get into it, but they...
Yes, I may have even lost my virginity to Ordinary World. I don't know.
Is that why you've been listening to it all over the house?
Maybe.
Like that?
Maybe.
Is that what you're thinking about?
Maybe it is. No, I don't know. Maybe
thinks about that.
I don't know if it was Ordinary World.
Never.
I'm gonna be honest. I don't
around fantasizing about you losing your virginity. It was like the worst.
Well, maybe for you. You know, when you pay people off the internet, that's what's gonna happen to you, Jables. So
fuck you, dude.
I had
fuck
a
you, okay?
experience. I wasn't in the back of a 7-Eleven.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, with $80. That wasn't me.
Bro.
But this was a big deal for me. And I really did feel like genuinely kind of nervous where I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Is this Duran Duran? Like, this is a big deal. For me, because I think everybody individually has their own people that meant something to them in their childhood growing up. That mean different things for different people.
Mm-hmm.
Duran Duran,
yep.
Baseball player Ricky Henderson. Yeah. Hi, it's Ricky Henny. Mm-hmm. Ricky was my end all be all athletes.
Right.
Deion Primetime Sanders. Brian Adams.
Sorry, I thought we were naming.
Were you Brian Adams?
Everybody at my age was at one point a fan of that song from Robin Hood.
Yeah, but here's the shocking thing about Duran Duran, because we got to interview him before the show started, then we stayed for the show. You got to take some pictures down in the press pit.
Yeah, that felt cool.
Yeah,
that was
pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And here was the shocking thing to me is the show was incredible.
Right.
Where I was like, oh fuck, we were at a rock show. They gave the people what they wanted. And it was a fucking party from beginning to end. And that absolutely shocked my mind. I was like, oh, fuck. And they still look great where you're like, holy shit. They look way better than me.
Duran Duran is one of those bands, like a lot of bands from that era, that you kind of take for granted because you're just like, oh, they're just good. And like, they were always good.
Yes.
Wonder what they're doing now. I bet they're fucking whatever. And they killed it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know. It's not that I forgot about you, but I just was like, when you're that good for that long,
yes,
in that time period, it's sort of like
you forget about their greatness.
Yeah,
yeah. It's kind of like
always great. Well, I don't know if they're great, but they.
It's kind of like when Kobe Bryant played. Kobe only got one MVP. He should have gotten multiple, but every year he was great. And I think people took it for granted. That's the same way with Duran Duran for me, where it was just like, oh, shit, they've been great for like 20 years.
Exactly.
And once they start playing,
mm-hmm.
you know every fucking song they've ever done. And you're like, oh, shit.
It sounds exactly the same as like back in the day.
Their voice sounds the same.
Holy shit.
I mean, they have not missed a beat, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Simon Le Bon, his voice was amazing. Like their playing was amazing.
Yeah.
They had a backup band. They had, you know, fucking beach balls at the end that were
what
tossed
did I say
out
to you
the crowd.
When we were watching, I was like, they're like cooler than I will ever be. Do you know what I mean? It was just this like air about them. They're just fucking cool. They dress cool. They kill it.
Yeah.
They're professionals. They were like pros. It was watching someone that's like been doing what they're doing for as long as they have, but in a professional manner, like talking to him, you'll hear the interview, but it's a business. They love it. They're doing it great.
Yes.
They're not fucking with it. They've been doing it great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Doing
and,
it right.
And look, but before we completely fan out here, which we're definitely doing, we got some sponsors. Who pay for this whole thing to be on the air. First up, we got straightrazors.com. Whew, best in the biz. They're my Rolling Stones. They're my Rolling Stones of sponsors. I told you I was out of aftershave and then, you know, I ordered two bottles of aftershave and they're like, dude, you don't have to do that. I was like, no, I want to. Like, if you guys leave the world, then I'm fucked and I can't get the best aftershave on the planet.
That's the problem with finding stuff that you like.
You genuinely like. You're like, please don't leave. And the same thing with, you know, local businesses.
Make it.
Like,
I support
them too.
Yeah.
Go to straightrazors.com. For all your shaving needs, they've got everything across the planet. Their straight razors will give you the smoothest shave you've ever had. Their cologne is amazing. Their aftershave, number one in the world. They've got a kit that makes you look like a fucking pro. When it's laid out on the counter, it's like, holy shit, they spent some money on that. And it really is one of the finest companies that I've ever been around.
Have you used the Taint Splash?
I haven't used the Taint Splash, but I'm looking forward to it. I want a real close taint shave, and I want to throw a splash of heat up there, you know?
Oh, hot? You want it to be like spicy?
Yeah, a little splash of hob underneath the old taint.
Love you, Straight Razor.
Go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION, you get 20% off. Again, go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION, you get 20% off. Please do so. They keep the show afloat. Next up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com. Boy, if you were thirsty like the wolf, you would definitely go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. And get yourself some energy needs. It's better than 5-hour energy. Kick the can, kids. You don't need the can anymore. You got this tasty, tiny little tin pouch that squeezes out into every liquid available. I'm talking waters, liquors, beers, Kool-Aids, you name it. It kicks the dick out of anything energy-wise you'll ever have. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION. You get 20% off. Big fan of StrikeForceEnergy.com. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and they get a subscription of the month. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Last but not least, we got At Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Oh, boy, that's a great horse noise.
I don't know.
Super great horse noise. Look, kids, the greatest writer of all time wrote it, Ross Patterson. Is he the finest literary genius of this or any generation? You bet he is. You bet he is. Give him a little pat on the shoulder if you see him out in public. Holla if you hear me. Hail Mary. Go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all the .coms, even Walmart.com. Pick up a copy of At Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed. It'll be the funniest thing you've ever read in your entire life. Or go to audible.com. It's on there as well. We did all the voices and a bunch of actors. It's 5 stars on Audible, 5 stars on Amazon. You can't fake that shit. Speaking of things you can't fake, the greatness of Duran Duran.
Shit.
Boy. Boy, oh boy.
Unexpected. I don't know. Is that weird? Is that bad to say that I was...
It's not.
That I was just like, I was expecting them to be good. Like,
yes.
They're obviously not fucking, you know.
Well,
they're not washed up. They're not anything.
Let's really fucking get into it, okay? Because they were here. There's a little thing in Wilmington, North Carolina every year called Azalea Fest.
Azaleas.
Every year they have a huge, like two or three huge bands play.
Yeah.
Last year was Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have asked me, before last year,
sure.
Hey man, what show are you more amped about going to, Snoop Dogg or Duran Duran? I probably would have said Snoop Dogg at the time because
Was weird that Snoop Dogg was coming to town. It was kind of like, all right, well, it's North Carolina, let's do this. Like, so it was novelty / we wanted to see him.
I did. I did want to see Snoop Dogg. I've seen him before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see.
Everybody's seen him before.
Well, you think, but you don't know. But he came and he sang with backup tracks the whole time. And a lot of like, now your turn to sing, where you're just like, yo, it is not my fucking turn to sing.
I paid
for a ticket for you to sing.
Right.
I don't want to sing. That's like going to a restaurant and you making me cook my own food. That's like making me go to Papa Murphy's, buying a frozen pizza and then going home and cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not delivery. It's fucking DiGiorno is what you just gave me.
Like, yeah, nothing like coming home after a long day of work.
And then cooking
your own fucking pizza.
And that's the way I feel about backup tracks. And like with the Snoop show, it was so fucking discombobulated all over the place. He only played for about an hour. And again, he used a backup track the whole time. So it was like, dude,
he was karaoke
to his own CDs.
Yeah.
And look, I love Snoop Dogg. It just wasn't a very good show.
Yeah. Fair.
But then Duran comes in. I didn't have a lot of expectations.
But
I was
we knew it was going to be good. It's like an 80s party. We knew it's going to be good.
You know it's going to be good, but you didn't know it was going to be great.
Exactly.
So Duran comes into town. And they played a whole gut like they were in a fucking arena tour.
Yep.
And it was incredible. It was like they were fucking U2. I was like, Jesus Christ.
They didn't Radiohead me.
No.
At all.
They played
every single song you want to hear.
They played all the hits. They played sweet ass covers of like Bowie.
Totally. Like they gave those fucking ladies, those old gals.
Yeah.
Those old gals in the audience, they gave them a fucking 80s night from top to bottom. Like they
80s
was
and 90s, because look,
yeah,
Duran was killing.
True.
But
in 2000s, really.
They made them titties jangle out there is what they did
for
the ladies. And, and it was an impressive show for his, not only Azalea Fest, but like. I would say, look, I go to a shit ton of concerts.
Yeah.
I've been to probably more than your average life. It's my thing.
It's your thing. I just want to say.
And me saying that was a great show.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That never happens.
I just want to say, I'm not sure if they're listening. If they are, that's amazing. But sure. I'm not saying that all your fans are old ladies. I'm saying everybody in Azalea Fest.
In Azalea Fest.
I'm not talking about you guys.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
Duran Duran.
They could go anywhere.
Yeah, let's be real. Yeah. All the bands held up and they look fucking amazing.
Yeah.
For their age. We're not going to say what age that is, but
I'm not going to say when Simon walked by me, I wasn't like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry.
John Taylor was like, what the fuck, bro?
Oh, for sure.
You'll hear it in the interview. I told him, bro. Like, Jesus.
We were watching a video of, was it Ordinary World? And I was like, dude, he looks the fucking same.
I know. They all look kind of the same.
It's so crazy.
They all look kind of the same. They went out of their way for wardrobe changes, that type of shit. And they had a full backup. They had a black church choir that was behind them, it seemed like and backup dancers.
Just like cool backup dancers.
Yeah.
There's like totally choreographed, the whole thing
they gave you the show that you wanted going in, and it was just like you couldn't ask for anything more. Where it was like Snoop Dogg, I left disappointed and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really, motherfuckers? But Duran, who's been together for 40 years, mm-hmm. just kicked your ass on that stage. Like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. So it was incredible from top to bottom. And I, God bless those guys. And you'll hear it when he talks, when John Taylor talks, like they're still passionate about the music. And look, without further ado, here's the interview. Forgive the concert noise you hear in the background. They were gracious enough to invite me on the tour bus because it was super loud. There was an opening band playing. And if you hear any background songs in the background, obviously there was a band playing. But here's my interview with the co-founder of Duran Duran, John Taylor. Welcome to Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah, we love it.
Do you really? Have you been here before?
No, but we're all like, wow, this is Cape Fear.
One of Robert De Niro's finest. The weather's a lot colder today than it should be.
It could be worse.
It could be. This is like British weather.
Warm everyone up. Yeah, we'll get moving.
I'll cozy in next to you. Yeah. Is this the first time you've been this close to another man on a tour bus like this?
I don't know. Well, this is the first time. First time in recent times. Yeah. You get used to being close to men when you're on a tour like this.
You don't have to tell me. I've been close to a lot of men. I mean, a lot. How many years is this, by the way?
What, the tour?
Overall, it's Duran Duran.
Oh, we're coming up on, it's like 38 years.
38 years, that's crazy. I mean, you're getting towards Stones territory.
Well, yeah, but we can never catch them up. That's the thing.
You never know. If you live to 95, you can beat them.
But then there'll be like 135, so.
It's true, because Keith is never going to die. Okay, now be honest with me. When the Rio Olympics happened, were you pissed that they didn't open up with Rio?
Oh, no, I didn't even think.
Her name is Rio and she dances in the sand.
wasn't something I was thinking a lot about.
And you guys have had a lot of hit songs. Obviously, Hungry Like the Wolf is one of the biggest ones. Was there ever an option for another animal, like a bear?
We did Union of the Snake.
You know, I've done something with a snake, too. It's super illegal, even for the South, which is weird.
Any sort of symbolism with these animals?
There's a lot of symbolism, yeah. You're kind of like, this is Jim Morrison territory. It's about animal spirits.
Well, we've all gone through an animal phase.
Yeah, I think Simon was quite into that, actually.
We had a show about the Doors and Jim Morrison. Were you into the Doors at all?
I wasn't.
Jables fucking hates them.
Simon was. I like them. You know, they're probably not in my top 10, but you know, I can have my Doors moment.
I get down with L.A. Woman, driving down your freeway.
Okay, who's in your top two?
Beatles got to be number one, really.
Everybody says Beatles. They're okay.
And then,
Stones are mine. Stones are mine.
Two.
Ah, Bowie's great.
Prince three.
Same. There we go. Now we're catching up.
I don't know where I want to go from there, though.
I'm also a big fan of Falco, who did Rock Me Amadeus.
It's getting complicated. The Clash, maybe.
Oh, The Clash are great. The Clash are great.
Yeah. Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell never lied.
Would you consider yourself the best bass player of all time?
No.
Who's number one?
No way. Who's number one? Well... But I think James Jamerson is probably the most the most influential electric bass player ever. And, you know, Paul McCartney, who was a big fan of his. Bernard Edwards was my guy. He was the bass player with Chic. And I still don't think anybody plays like him.
And you guys toured with him, right?
But not with Bernard's been gone a long
That's
time.
Right.
I mean, Bernard produced the Power Station, so I did get to work with him, and he produced A View to a Kill. When you hear what he plays on those Chic hits, you know, it's like it defies physics. Where he finds places to play, where he finds beats to put his notes. I can't even.
Since you brought up View to a Kill, it's still the greatest Bond song of all time.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Appreciate you saying that.
I've got Adele as a close two under that, but I still got you guys at one.
All right. I'm a fan of Diamonds Are Forever myself and Goldfinger, of course.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, of course. Is it true you did date a Bond girl?
Well, she was in a Bond film, yeah. I mean, I don't know whether I would call her a Bond girl. Bond girls typically are the... You know, are the female leads.
They called her a Bond girl online. God damn it, I'm using too much Wikipedia.
Yeah, no.
You've dated a lot of interesting people. Well, I saw Jody Watley on there.
In my 20s, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's face it, though. You've held up. How do you stay in shape?
I like what I do. You know, I take it seriously. You know, you got to feel good about yourself if you're going to be in a band. I think it's... I don't think it's rocket science. We all know, you know, what makes the difference between a healthy lifestyle and an unhealthy one. I made a lot of healthy choices in the last 20 years.
You see, I haven't. I've always gotten way too close to the edge with a Wendy's triple stack here.
Stick with me, kid. I'll teach you the tricks.
Yeah, you're fishing a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's doing it. And something else interesting I thought, you guys played with Stevie Wonder earlier.
Yeah, that was a bit of a, I don't want to, dream come true. No, it was definitely it was something to memorialize. You know, it was, he's just one of the giants, isn't he? And we'd never, I mean, I can't remember a time when he hasn't been making music, you know. So.
He's at every award show there is. Like, I still see him play every award show.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, you never quite know what you're going to get with him. I've seen him good, and I've seen him great, and I've seen him not so great. But, you know, he was really on that night, and he showed, you know, what legends are all about. And you've got to constantly be looking up and sideways at artists. I mean, I'm always interested in of artists that are, you know, quite a bit older than me, and how are they hanging in there? You know, how are they keeping the fire going? You know, how are they maintaining their enthusiasm?
Now, I heard a rumor that Stevie Wonder really isn't blind and that he can see shapes. Can you confirm or deny this?
Let's hope not.
Yeah, that would be real messed up, Stevie. Moving on. Speaking of artists still doing it, that new Stones album, I really loved, by the way. And I was surprised. Even though it's covers, I was like, it was a pretty good album. Like, I was really surprised.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. But, you know, I saw them last autumn, and they seemed really, really into it. You know, they were a lot better. I think I'd seen them about 88, I think, was the last time I'd seen them, and they were better this time. So that's always good. That's always good to see,
yeah,
and acknowledge that it's, like you say, it's not downhill. It doesn't have to be downhill.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
They're clearly, you know, the music has brought them together, and, you know, this project where they got to, you know, work on songs that were important to them, it took them back to the core of their enthusiasm and their passion for what they do, and it galvanized them, and they sounded and looked great.
Yeah, they sounded amazing. If you could go back to one year in your life, what would it be?
Well, we've been thinking about 1978 a lot recently, because we kind of got this like 40-year anniversary rollover celebration, which is going to start next year, and it's going to go for about 3 years.
Make it 20. It's your world.
And like, you know, because like the genesis of the band was 1978. Then it went through some changes. Simon joined in the summer of 1980. So, you know, the band was kind of created over this sort of 2 year period. And 78 was a really interesting time, 78, 79. I mean, really that post-punk era, there was so much energy in music in Britain at that point. And it was also, that was right, the first year that I realized this was my thing. That, like, forget, you know, working in a department store or working in a, you know, an ad agency or, you know, working at a service station. I was going into music and, you know, and really, like, focusing on that and that, you know, really figuring out how to create and make music. That was an exciting time.
What year do you think you were at your absolute best?
Oh, right now, man.
That's great.
Absolutely.
That's great to hear. I always ask that of people. And if they don't say right now, no. If they don't say right now, then they don't love what they do and they don't think they can get better.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's, you know, people are always asking about the difference between touring now and touring back then. I mean, look, when you haven't been to America before, there's nothing like going to America for the first time. Trust me. You know, going to places for the first time, there's nothing like that. And when we toured at the beginning of the 80s and we first started coming here and also going to places like Japan and Australia, it was insane. And the kind of following that we had at that time, I mean, it was amazing. But we're really, you know, we're really into what we're doing. And I don't know. You have to dig deep, you know. If you're going to be around a while, you've got to dig deep, you know.
On the new album, did you feel like that? Like, hey, we really dug deep and we achieved it?
Yeah, I think we did actually. I think the new album was an achievement, you know. I mean, it's never easy. You know, you're trying to make something that is as vital as your best work. You know, is as interesting as whatever's happening in the music scene currently. You know, it's got to tick a lot of boxes. You know, it's like I would say, it's like putting out a new model BMW or something. You know, it's got to do everything the old ones did, but it's got to do something new as well. And it's not easy. But you know, we love to do what we do. I mean, I don't think any of us can believe that we're still doing it, you know, and that it's become something that was like, you know, it was just mad when it started out. It's become a privilege, you know, and we're just very blessed. I hate the word blessed, but
I know, hashtag blessed. You can hashtag it. You can hashtag blessed.
No, but it is, you know, but as I say, we take it seriously, you know, so we love it.
Okay. Last question. When I came here, my wife was amped, but she was like, look, he's not the only famous one in the family. She was talking about your wife. Oh, right. She created Juicy Couture, right? That's pretty incredible, right?
Yeah, she is incredible. And and I got to take that ride with her, which was really good fun, and be a part of her,
extraordinary achievement.
The rock star of the fashion world. Like that for a while, that was a heavy, heavy run.
It was. Yeah. It was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks. And thanks for being on Ross Patterson Revolution. Have a great show tonight.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If I try to make my way
beyond that real world,
I will learn to survive.
Okay, Jables, scale of 1 to 10. Was he unhappy with me when I asked him if Stevie Wonder could see shapes?
I'm unhappy with you. And you know that. And you looked at me and you gave me a look and you did it anyway.
Well, you know, this has been an ongoing thing on my show and then our sister show, Drinking Bros, where, in fact, aforementioned, we have talked about Stevie Wonder. There's been a longstanding rumor, and you can look this up on Google yourself. There's been a longstanding rumor that Stevie Wonder isn't really fully blind, that he can see shapes.
How long have I been saying that,
You've been saying it for a long time. There's videos on YouTube that have Stevie Wonder making questionable, I would say, glances at things where you're like, all right, how does Stevie know that's going on right there? The one, though, that did get me was the Golden Globes this past year.
Checking out some butts and stuff?
No. They put Stevie at a table, and I don't know if you know this, but they, you know, it's a round table, and the stage is right in front of you. Somebody, whoever sat Stevie, didn't turn his chair towards the stage, and he's just looking at a wall the entire night.
Stop it.
Dead serious. And there's a picture of that online as well. So you were not stoked when I asked that question.
No.
Okay. Well, that happens. That's going to happen with me. I'm a real person with real feelings and real emotions.
Yes, and I have I feel a real way about you.
I know what you mean.
And like, you wouldn't have given me the little glance first if you didn't know what the fuck you were doing.
Well, look, it's a question I really want to know.
No,
and it would have been nice if people opened up and be like, "Hey, man, Stevie," because it's not like a lot of people think. Once we stop recording, maybe there's other things that go on afterwards. There really isn't. So it's not like I got by the way, the Stevie Wonder thing. Yeah, he can totally fucking see. Like, I didn't get that.
No.
But he was across the board an awesome guy. And that question about when, you know, if you could go back to being your best, when was that?
It
was just like, it's a trick question. It was. Because
it's not a trick question.
No. It's not a trick question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is the God's honest truth. What I said in that interview where I was just like, you know, if you don't think that you're at your best, at your craft today, not your best self, because it's, look, let's face it, Father Time takes you in some mysterious places.
And also, we don't talk stupid like that.
No.
We don't say our
but
best.
But about your craft.
But about your
craft. And to hear him say that was incredible. You know what? And there is something that people didn't see actually backstage that's I would like to share with the audience, because it was, to me, it was awesome to see. So we did this interview. We took a picture together afterwards that was super blurry that you did, that we can post later. And really, really great picture, the two of us. We both look like Swayze and
you guys.
Ghost.
If anybody out there does photography, I get one second. So I'm going from like inside of the tour bus.
I think the nerves got the best of you.
He goes, "Can I take a picture?" He was so busy. He's right about to go on stage, so you literally have half a second.
Yep, and the picture's blurry.
Yeah.
So I get one picture with Duran Duran, and it looks like we're both Patrick Swayze and Ghost. Like we're just both. Just images. We're both holograms. We're both hologram Yodas from Star Wars is what we are. No, but in all sincerity. So after this shitty picture that you took, that I can never get back, which is going to haunt me forever. Cause I wanted to give it to my son and all that stuff, but, whatever.
I'm like trying to be mad, but yeah. that's funny.
So after our interview, he gets off the bus and then he goes into, there was like a huge tent. There was some women who were standing in line who were blind. Some of them, they appeared to be cancer patients. And it was a longer line. And one by one, we watched them go into this tent and the entire band took pictures with them. And they were smiling, joking around, having a blast.
Simon even like took off his jacket and put it on somebody, and it was like an amazing thing to see. And you're like, holy shit, they've got to go on stage in like 10 minutes at this point.
Yeah.
So they took a, I mean, it was a huge line of people taking pictures with them. They were unbelievably gracious with their time and amazing. They took all these pictures, and then they went to rehearse, and I heard them rehearsing right before they went on stage. And here's, you know, to me, yet another amazing moment about them is they've been playing essentially for 40 years together in this band. Once they came out after rehearsing and they were, you know, announced on stage, two of them were skipping to the stage.
Yeah.
Skipping.
That was really awesome.
Really awesome. And that we have footage of. I think you were rolling some camera, some B-roll of it, and we'll post it online. But they were skipping, and we were the only ones back there, so it wasn't like they were doing it for us. They were just doing it because they were excited to play. And I mean, they skipped out like they were a band excited to play in front of anyone. And that's what I miss.
Or no one, really.
Yeah.
It seems like they could just be, they'll be excited.
Yeah. Way.
They just, that's how they seem about
it. And after that long a time, the fact that you're still excited to play night in and night out is unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Because again, we had just come off a show the year before with like Snoop Dogg. It was super lethargic. I mean, it was high as shit, but like.
Late, high. Over it, like it was just kind of like,
yeah,
all right, like we know we're not like the biggest
city in the world,
yeah,
but like,
but
dude, they,
you know,
yeah, I mean, they and
don't
they,
agree to do it then.
They put on a show, so like, you know, during this interview, all the, you know, everything that he said was true. It, you know, if you're not striving to be your best or trying to, like,
it's true,
it really was true,
applies to a lot of things, yeah,
yeah, and I can't, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Even the fact that him doing the interview, I have to say, like, we've both done, I don't know if you did a lot of plays, but I've done, you know, live performance where it's like,
right,
thinking about doing an interview with somebody, I don't even know who they are,
well,
like, right,
show,
before going on,
sure,
stage, though, like, that's huge for them to even, for him to even do that, and
it
then
is,
go practice and take pictures and then go up on stage. So that's someone that's like, I don't know. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it totally
is.
And,
it was
and,
impressive to me.
I, you know, in all the movies and shit that I have done, like, you know, doing an interview before, sometimes they would slot interviews at lunch.
Yeah.
And things
like
that. And then you go back, you know, to the thing and you're like, man, I'm tired. I don't have my best.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do an interview right now.
No,
like,
you want to focus on what you're doing.
Yeah,
really.
And their tour manager, Orla and Karen hooked this up, and they were like, look.
They were super nice.
Super nice,
cool.
Super gracious, and they were just like, look, you know, you'll get maybe 15 to 20 minutes with the bands, and it'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, just, you know, be courteous about their time, and I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, in the interview, you can hear the opening band playing, and that's how tight it was towards when they were going on stage. And you're like, holy shit. Then they came out and crushed the show and put everything to shame, and you're like, god damn. I mean, I left an even bigger fan than I was when I was a child. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I think because I know more about the entertainment business now, where as a kid you don't, you know, you watch shows.
It's all just magic.
Yeah, you go to concerts and things, and like, you know, even as a child, I recognize a good show from a bad show. And sometimes I knew why, sometimes I didn't. You don't know what people are going through or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was a great show where I was just like, holy shit. Man, I know I've said it a bunch of times in this show, but because I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's hard to fathom getting that excited to play a show after all this time. It just is. It would be like playing, you know, the same character in fucking Death of a Salesman for 40 years, where you're like,
yeah,
how do you make it interesting every night and get excited to do it? Because you know they know all those songs. I mean, obviously, look, they have a new album out, and
true,
they were recording that. They only played, if I'm not mistaken, a couple new songs. They knew what the crowd
but
wanted.
They fit right in whatever those, the new songs they did play, they fit right in. So it wasn't like a jarring, like, we're going to play our new stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, we still, you know, You know, the interesting
thing that I have a takeaway from, and I've always wondered this, is why a band that great, or any band for that great, like Pearl Jam or The Stones or whoever, why they couldn't come out with like a gigantic hit now. You rarely see it. And I remember as a kid, you know, young kid, like, I remember the Grateful Dead came out and they had arguably their biggest hit of their career. Remember that song, Touch of Grey?
Yeah.
Touch of Grey.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, when I say biggest hit for the fans at home, I'm talking about commercial wise. I mean, they've got a million songs that are better than Touch of Grey.
Right, right, right.
But for whatever reason, Touch of Grey was on MTV and it was just like, here's the Grateful Dead, super old as shit, Jerry Garcia. And then they've got this video where they're all skeletons. And like, I remember as a child, and you're like, oh, fuck. How did you get a hit that late? It's kind of like when Jack Nicklaus won the Masters at like 46 years old.
Right.
You're just like, oh, shit, or 48 or whatever it was. Like, you're like, oh, shit, how did he summon that one more time? Why? I don't understand, like, because, you know, Duran Duran had some awesome songs on that new album. Like, why can't they break through? Why can't another older band break through now and come out with a gigantic hit? Seems strange to me.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different factors, obviously, that things have to converge as far as demographic that make things a commercial hit being your biggest fans.
I guess.
So people that have been listening to them forever as everyone grows?
But you take the Chainsmokers right now.
Yeah, but what's their demographic?
No, not that. You take the Chainsmokers and that new song with Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Yeah.
He's a great singer. They just took a great singer from a band, had a hit song. Why couldn't the Chainsmokers take Simon LeBond?
They fucking should.
And just plug him into that song. Same voice, same thing. Like, he could have killed the same exact song and been the same shit. And then, to me, it would have been even cooler if it was like, oh, shit. Dude, it's the Chainsmokers and Duran Duran. Like, fuck yeah, let's hear this song. Like,
right.
That would have been rad. Like, Chainsmokers and Chris Martin, it's like, oh, cool, yeah, of course they did, like, whatever. You know, much in the same way that Daft Punk dipped back, you know, and got Nigel. Like, that. I think it could be done whether or not you want to work with them or not. Like, the last one I can remember that is, I guess, close, fuck, within the last 10 years would be Jack White and Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
They had a hit song called Portland, Oregon, and that song was fucking dope as shit. Yeah. And Loretta Lynn was like 70 at the time. So I don't know why you can't, you know, whether it's airplay, whether it's, you know, the labels, like if they have a great song, can you get that in? Is the question. And I know I had talked about the Rolling Stones in that last interview. And I didn't even know they had a new album until Kristen Stewart was trending on Twitter.
Yeah,
and I was
exactly.
Like, wait, why is Kristen Stewart trending on Twitter? Oh, because she did the Rolling Stones video and that made everybody watch it and then listen to the album. And I was like, oh shit, that's what happened to me.
Right.
So it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing because I don't.
No, you're right. They would need a collab to kind of come back into
the ability to write songs and make a hit. I don't know if that leaves you. Like, you know, I watched that Tom Petty doc that was 9 hours long that you always make fun of me for. But like, Tom Petty is one of those guys who kept having hits like 30, 40 years later where you're just like, Jesus Christ.
Some would argue because it's just not complicated rock.
Yeah, you know what else?
It's real easy.
Yeah, I guess. But you know what else?
Not extraordinary.
Also just made me, you know, really, really enjoy the Duran Duran concert even more was I had just seen the Oasis documentary a couple days before. And the fucking lead singer was such a fucking asshole. Such an asshole all the way through.
And just tanked it. Drove it into the.
But even before they got famous, he was a dick. And you're like, man. And they came from like a shitty upbringing where like the dad used to beat the mom. Mm-hmm. And it was like he was a dick before. And then an even bigger dick afterwards. And you were like,
right.
And he was just dry, driving everything into the ground, this guy.
Yeah.
And still does to this day, and then just shitting on his brother. And like one of the quotes from the documentary, and I think it was by their tour manager, it was the best thing I'd ever heard, because it was, it's two brothers, mm-hmm. Liam and Noel, and
I'm familiar with Oasis.
Yeah, and then Oasis. And the best quote was by the tour manager, who was just like, look, one brother had all the buttons. The other brother had all the fingers.
Right.
And that's all he wanted to do was press the buttons. And it was just like, it's still going on today.
How uncomfortable.
Wait, I'll take this even further. So when they were in their the height of their public feud, they were scheduled to play the Hollywood Bowl, and I had tickets. So I went to go see Oasis at the Hollywood Bowl in, like, I don't know, fucking 2001 or whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
You know, like right after like Wonderwall and Supernova and all that other fucking shit. Like, and they were kind of getting, I think they'd maybe put out a new album. They were about to start promoting it or whatever it was. They were in a massive public feud. The two of them came out together on stage. Drank fucking Rolling Rock. They played for 1 hour on the dot. The dot. And then Homeboy, the lead singer who's always been the asshole, just takes this bottle of Rolling Rock, smashes it on the stage, and walks off. And that was it. And they played for 1 hour, 60 minutes even. It was almost like he had a stopwatch off stage.
Right.
And I was like, and they,
that's
look,
all I gotta do.
They
yeah.
played their hits, but it was literally, he could have been anywhere, and he was super monotone. Like, almost like the concert, it's almost like he'd asked the concert promoter, hey, how long do I have to play? Mm-hmm. 1 hour. Okay, you have 1 hour? Great. And I can just sing whatever I want for an hour. And it was just like
aggressive bullshit.
Right. And so he was just like this. So, you know, I said lately, you're gonna be the one that saves me. And it's my wonderwall. It was monotone, shitty, no energy. He didn't move one square inch from behind the microphone, where you were just like, Jesus, man. I mean, it was awful. And those guys had only been doing it at that point together for like 6 or 7 years. You've Duran Duran has been doing right. it for 40. And
that's another
you
thing.
You can't get your shit together, Oasis.
Right. That's what's impressive about them too, only because you know how hard it is with bands and egos and fucking bullshit and whatever. Like, the fact that the guy from Oasis could look into the audience at the Hollywood Bowl and not want them to like cheer and be happy, like, that alone is
it's crazy.
To me. I can't
and
even
and it's one of the greatest venues on the planet, and you're like, all right, cool. And look, for as much shit as Kanye gets about, you know, going off at rants and all that shit at the concerts, I've seen Kanye a few times. When he goes off on rants and he's angry about shit on stage, it's usually about tech shit, lighting, sound, whatever. But he's passionate about his performance and the fans, and he wants everybody to have
a
good time.
Hasn't he walked off stage and canceled shit and been a fucking D, though?
Later, when he lost his mind. But he had a mental breakdown at that point, and it was just like, oh, all right, cool. That guy had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, me too.
Right. But he had a fucking mental break. I mean, he literally went to a psych ward that last one. So wow. It was like, all right, we'll give that one a pass. The other ones were just dicks, where you're just like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And then you watch this documentary and you're like, just two dickheads.
Yep, just a couple of dickheads that had some hits. Yeah. And the difference is,
Then you have Duran Duran, who was so massively worldwide famous for so long. And, you know, they're come out and they still crush it. Yeah. Still crush it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so, there's something to be. That's what I'm saying. There's something to be said for that, only because you know how hard it is.
Yes,
and everything.
And to that point, like, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm fucking kissing their ass or anything like that. Like, I appreciate anybody who puts their heart and soul into something and literally gives it their best,
mm-hmm.
And is still great at it. And I think that's a big key that I want to point on, that is still great at it.
Yeah,
because I've seen, take Bob Dylan.
Sure.
And I hate that I'm going to shit on Bob Dylan, but like, Bob Dylan's voice is shot. And the last time I saw Bob Dylan play, like, it was like, oh my God. The last two times I saw him twice.
And he used to have the voice of an angel.
Yes.
So.
Well, hey. But the last two times it was like, hey man, this is not good. Like, you. And it's not his fault. It wasn't like he wasn't trying, because he was.
Right.
He's just old as shit. And it just, dude, his voice is gone.
This
now.
One's hard for me. So if his voice is shot, so he should what? Just hang it up?
Yes. And I know that sounds terrible,
know.
But
there's still so many people. I would see him.
James, we've had this conversation.
I would see him. I know.
Do you leave at your top and don't let anybody see you? And literally, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up because it just happened this weekend. Journey just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And Steve Perry came. Steve Perry hates the band, has not whatever.
Was believed to be dead for a very long time.
They got a guy in China off the internet,
right?
Who fucking
it wasn't China, but it was something like that.
Asia, wherever
sure.
in Asia,
sure.
What it's all the fucking same. So they got a guy in from Asia who sounds identical to him, who's been doing him in karaoke for years,
right.
That to replace him, and he, you know, still showed up and did it, but he didn't sing. And they always sing. Whenever you get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if you're alive and you can perform, you play, and there's a concert, and they go in and you do it. And he didn't sing. And I don't know if it was his hatred for the band, or the fact that maybe he doesn't have it anymore. I mean, look, his nickname is The Voice.
Right.
A lot of people have said he's got the greatest voice in rock and roll history.
I mean, it's pretty fucking amazing.
Yes. So. Is it his hatred for the band, or is he saying, fuck, maybe my voice isn't as good as it was? And if that is the case, Jables,
mm-hmm.
that means he walked away, knew when it was time, and he goes, no. I only want people to remember me for my greatness, because he never had a bad performance.
And you know.
Never had a bad performance, Steve Perry.
That's huge.
So.
Because, and especially with rock stars, too, because you'll always remember that last.
Yes.
That last performance you saw him that was just missed a step. You're right. You're right.
Kind of like when John Taylor was talking about Stevie, where he was like, I've seen Stevie. It's good.
Great.
Not so
and
great.
I've seen, yeah.
Yeah. And that's true. And so, like,
well, he's
when to walk away.
As well, yeah.
I know. But when to walk away is a big thing where it's just like, I don't know. And like Duran, they're still great. They shouldn't walk away.
With them, it's hard. You know, the comparison to Kobe is hard only because I think music, well, maybe not. But I mean, music means so much. It's like maybe they take it. You got to take it on as like there's people out there that want to see you still. And it means so much to them.
Well,
so do you start to be like, all right, am I going to be selfish and go out on top? Or am I going to be like that person that's never seen fucking Stevie Wonder or whatever and wants to see me? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know that
and
is,
I guess Kobe could say the same thing, right?
That
like
is
there's kids that look up to me, that want to see me, blah blah blah. It's like
that's the eternal question. Yeah, because Kobe walked away and it is not coming back,
and that's why you can't actually answer that. Is it better to burn out than to fade away? Because you can't. What's the right answer?
I don't know.
Selfish, not selfish, I don't know. Like
I don't know. But you take Johnny Carson for me in comedy, like two guys who did walk away.
Right.
Johnny Carson was one of them who said, because he believed there was an old school movie star thought of once you're not at your best and you're not a movie star or what you once were, you fucking walk away and you never get seen again in public.
Yes.
Johnny Carson was one of them. David Letterman. Letterman left, came back recently because he's got a book out.
Mm-hmm.
To do an appearance. Did you see what Letterman looks like
the
now?
The Unabomber?
Yeah. With the huge gray Santa beard. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Why would you come back looking like now? That's my last thought of Letterman. It's this crazy fucking old man who just, it looked like he was sleeping
he was
in a cave.
He's that crazy old man that he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
old
but,
man.
But
he doesn't give a fuck.
Shave, but like if you're going to go hot, because I haven't seen him since he left his show.
He's been
until
shaving.
Now.
And you can. You know, agree with this. He's been shaving you shave every day for the show.
Yes,
every single day.
And you don't want to shave anymore. But
you don't want to ever shave again,
no, dude. No, dude. You come back. If you're going to come back and do press, shave up. Look great. Go back into hiding.
Okay.
You can always grow a fucking beard or a mustache back. I had a mustache for a while. Whenever I'm, you know, writing in these hardcore writing sessions for the book, like I'll grow a mustache or some form of something weird, just for the simple fact that I don't want to shave half my face, you know?
Got you.
But when it comes time to take meetings and shit, I shave
You'll
up. I look clean.
Yeah,
I look great.
Yeah.
And I try to get my shit back together.
Yeah.
But that's a weird thing in this life. And I don't know if we'll ever
Are
have
you
the answers
know?
To that. Yes, I think so. I think so.
I bet everybody says they think so.
I really do. I really do where it's just like, all right, we're good now.
Okay.
And that's my guess. Duran Duran's not going to have that problem, though. They're not. They're going to look good, still
pimpy, man.
For fucking ever.
Yep.
And now it's time for the revolutionary figure of the week. This week, it's figures, actually. And this one goes out to the immigrants from the Portuguese islands of Açores, Madeira, and Cabo Verde. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I hope I am.
Probably aren't.
Nah, my Spanish is tip-top shape, Jables. This was the first records of the carnival festivities in Brazil. You know what city?
I don't know.
Her name is Rio, and she dances in the sand. Was that song about carnival? I think so.
Yep.
Never met the girl Rio, but if you're listening to the show, go ahead and type in. Send us a package. Let us know you're still alive. Send us a pic. Or maybe she faded away gracefully, Jabes. You never know. You never know what happened to Rio.
You never know.
But we do know this. She danced in the sand.
For sure she did.
Dances
like a little fucking bitch.
In the sand. Who talks like that, Jables?
What? I don't know.
look, kids, this was a blast. Childhood dream come true. Bucket list type shit. Thank you sincerely to John Taylor of Duran Duran for being on the show. This was amazing.
Yeah.
This was amazing.
This shit is so fun. This is cool, you guys.
Fucking dope, dude.
This is cool. And thank you for for listening, making this happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, cheers, everybody. We love you.
It's great.
Thank you for listening to the Ross Patterson Revolution. Go to rosspattersonrevolution.com for some sweet teas. Grab yourselves some tri-blends. Let everybody know you're part of the revolution. We love you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.